Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned in to the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dax, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful state of Denver, Colorado. As you're coming in, drop your comments below. Not your comments, but drop where you're from or where you're checking in from. I don't know why I got to struggle with my microphone every time. I think Wesley messes with it. Well, we got a pretty good episode. Pretty good episode coming in for today. So drop where you're from. We're going to do a little roll call. And before we get into today's topic, as you guys and girls can see, right, how to start investing for a child. That's going to be today's topic. And as you come in, tell me where you're from, and we're going to have a nice conversation today. While I get my banner correct, y'all give me 1 second. So at the 3 minute mark, we're going to do the roll call. Then after the roll call, we're going to jump straight into how to invest for a child. And when we started talking about this, we're going to talk about the different ways you can invest for a child, why to invest for a child, all the different options. And we're actually going to show you how to do all of those things right here and talk about it. And we can show you a little bit too. Why my microphone is acting up today? I feel like I'm James Brown when he moves his microphone around all the time. Hey, what's going on? Right? So anyway, thank you guys and girls for tuning in. We're going to do the roll call first. And after the roll call, we're going to jump straight into ways to invest for a child. Now, what's going on in the economy? Well, I'm not going to go a lot of economical talk today. One of the things I'm going to get into today is one of the big things is everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people have been talking about the COVID-19 stimulus check. So a lot of people, for every child got $500, depending on your income level. Every child got $500. Every single couple got $1,200. And married couples got $2,400, depending on your income level. So that could change depending on the person. So before we get into it, guys and girls, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And we're going to have a good topic today. So let's do a quick roll call. Okay, we have Miss Linda Waters here. She says, he is excellent when it comes down to wisdom of the stock market. Cool dude and has a very interesting show. Oh, thank you there, Miss Linda Waters, for the comment there. Definitely appreciate it. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's go ahead and get straight into this topic today. We're going to be talking about pretty common sense topic today about investing. Why to invest. So the first thing we're going to get into it, why invest for the child? Why do you want to invest for a child? Why is this topic is important? The first thing of why this topic is important is when you look at the world of investing, if you have money now, like I have a 9-year-old son, if you have money right now, you know this child is going to want cars, clothes, school, a business, or whatever it is when they become an adult, whatever, right? So what are you doing right now to prepare for that? Right now you have time, right? So if you have a younger child, you have a lot more time than you do if you have an older child. So if you have a younger child, the question is why? Why invest? So the first thing is, if I had cash today and I had a savings account, where can I put money to invest for my child for the future? Where can I do it? So the options I have is pretty much either I can put in a savings account, a CD, but we all know right now what just happened. We're on the lowest interest rate society that we've not ever been in, but since 2008, right? The Federal Reserve has lowered the interest rates to 0.25. That's the lowest they've ever been. So interest rates are very low. Prince, what does that mean when it comes down to investing? What it means when it comes down to investing is that people who are looking to invest, they have a limited amount of ways to invest. For prime example, savings account is not making as much money because interest rates are low. CDs aren't making much money because interest rates are low. What else you have out there? CDs, bonds aren't making as much money because CDs are very low. So the thing about it, the whole name of the game is where can I put my money to grow? Now, why is it important that I even invest? Inflation. That's the first thing you got to think about. Inflation. Inflation is the price of goods and services that goes up every year. You can't see it. That's why some people call it the invisible tax, because you can't see it, but you're getting taxed. So the price of rent goes up, gas prices go up, food, clothes, everything. I like to use the example of a soda. Remember when you was in high school and how much a soda would cost out of the store or out of a vending machine versus how much they cost now? Now they cost more, and they're not even giving you a 20-ounce. Now they're giving you a 16-ounce for more. So just the price of everything in the world just goes up. So you have to put your money somewhere to where it can grow, right? Where can I go to beat inflation? Inflation currently moves at 3%. So if inflation is moving at 3% and your savings account is getting 0.2%, I can't save. I must invest. Now, the only people that saving is good for, it depends on your time horizon. Your time horizon, because if you have an 18-year-old child that's going to school next year, you may want to look into a CD. But if you are like me, I have a 9-year-old. I don't plan on him using his money anytime soon. I have a long time horizon. I have about a decade. So where can I put my money for a decade? I may be interested into more riskier things. Versus if I have a shorter time horizon, if you have a 17, 18-year-old child, you may want to look into a CD. You may want to look into a one-year bond because you don't want to put that much risk on your principal when you have to use it so soon. Versus me, I have a decade. So now that's the first thing we want to get into is why. The next question we want to get into is options. What options do you have? What investing options that are out there? Prince, I understand you made a very great point. I received a $500 stimulus check, or I'm interested in investing into my child. I received a tax return, or I'm just interested in investing in the concept altogether. Or not even if it's your child. Say if you have a grandchild, say if it's a niece or a nephew, you can invest for a niece or nephew or grandchild. All you need is their social security number and their address. Date of birth, social security number, address. You can invest for your niece or nephew, right? You can open them up an account and be a custodian. So now, let's talk about the options that we have. So when we look at the world of investing, I like to break it down into three options. We're going to go through each option. The first option we have is real estate. Number one, in real estate. So we have real estate, right? So what is real estate? Real estate is essentially, apartments, homes, where we live, where do we live, where do we stay, land, all those type of things, right? Benjamin Franklin is known for saying that it's one of the most safest investments you can make if you use common sense and an approach, you know, a common sense approach to it, right? Because they're not making any more, and neither can it be taken away from you unless you don't pay your tax. But let's get into it. How does this relate to a child, Prince? One, something I did last year for the first time, it was my son's birthday. He turned 8. So for his 8th birthday, I decided to purchase a piece of land. I purchased this piece of land, and I made him the co-signer of the land. He was he's on a title. He's on a deed. So it was a piece of land that I could buy for cash. It wasn't much. It wasn't anything spectacular. But I wanted to get him into real estate, so I bought him a piece of land. So his name and my name are on a piece of land that I brought here in Colorado. So it was about a couple acres of land. It wasn't anything. It wasn't a prize. It was, you know, just some land. Now, why did I do this? What are the pros and cons of buying land? One, it's an asset. It's something that in the future, one, it can gain value. Two, if it doesn't gain value, he can live on it. He can live on it and use it. In the future, he can either live on it and use it, or he can sell it for a profit, or he can use it as collateral to get something else. So let's say he wants to start a business, or he wants to make an investment, or he wants to start a company or whatnot. He has land that he can use as a collateral, right? Here's the land. You can use it as a collateral. You can sell it and make a profit, or you could live on it for one day, or you could rent it, or you could cut down the trees and sell the trees, or cut down the whatever's on the land. You can use it as a resource, right? So now that was a pro. Now, what are the cons to buying land? The cons to buying land is one, it doesn't grow as fast in value. Two, property tax. Every year you're responsible for paying property tax. So when that child gets older, do they want to be responsible for property tax? They probably don't want to be. Three, if you have multiple children, multiple grandchildren, something that I've seen happen in my family and so many families across the world, when they purchase land, they like to put everybody's name on it. They put all the children's name on it. Like me, I have 3 older brothers. So let's say if my dad left a piece of land, 5 acres of land, and he put all 4 of his sons on it, right? And he put all 4 of us on the land. Let's say if I want to sell it, my brother wants to live on it, my other brother wants to farm on it, and, you know, we have now you start these back and forth where this person don't want to sell it. They do want to sell it, all of the good stuff like that. And then property tax is still owed. And let's say if one brother doesn't want to pay the property tax because he thinks we should have sold the land last year. Right. So you have those issues if you put multiple people's name on the land. So my suggestion to that, if you're going to go the land route, make sure you section off everybody's own piece of land. If I was to have another child, I wouldn't add them to Wesley's land. I would give them their own land, right? Wouldn't that make sense? So that's the first thing I would do. So that's one of the cons of it. So you have property taxes, and you maybe have, if you put land together, family may, you know, you may have a family debacle. The third piece is also with land, you may have, it doesn't grow as fast in value. If it's just an open piece of land, it may not grow as fast as in value, right? So, and it just sits there. So, or now, you could do the same thing with a house. Maybe you, depending on your income level, maybe you want to buy your child or whatnot a house, put a business in their name, and rent it out. But we'll kind of get into that later. But that's a piece of real estate. That's one option. So option number two that we're into now, business. I used the wrong, I thought I put a period there, but that's a comma. Business. Now you could start a business for your child. Nowadays in 2020, there's so many businesses out there. Children are starting YouTube channels, clothing lines, you know, e-commerce, websites. You know, it's so many ways that kids can make money. Back when I was growing up, the only way kids really made money, when you turned 16, you went and, you know, delivered pizzas. My first real job was Domino's Pizza, right? So there's so many ways you can start a business. You can open up, like what I did with my son. I opened up a business. I put his name on it, so he's a co-founder of my business. And if it does well in the future, good for him, right? If it doesn't, dad tried. So anyway, you can start a business for your child. You can make them, put them on your LLC. You can make them a person. So for prime example, if most of you guys already know, guys and girls already know, that my son's name is Wesley. And, you know, I created a whole book series, education, finance, children's financial literacy education series around him titled Wesley Learns. So I wrote, my first book came out in 2015, Wesley Learns to Invest. Wesley Learns About Credit. Then Wesley Learns About Insurance was the latest one that came out last year. So, you know, his name is Wesley. He's trademarked. You know, he owns a trademark, all of the good stuff like that. So that's a form of a business. Another form of a business, you can start a business, and maybe you could go back, while speaking about real estate, you can buy houses, rent them out, buy apartments or rent them out to keep a cash flow. So that's another way you can do it as well. That's a form of a business. If you start a business and you put your child's name on there or whatnot, you can create an LLC for them. Pay them, instead of paying them an allowance, you can pay them as a you can pay them as an employee, right? And his job or her job is to, you give them, maybe they clean up around the house, pick up the trash, whatnot. So instead of paying them a regular allowance, you can create a business and put them on a payroll. I have seen people do that. So that's another way, starting a business, something that the child may love, or, you know, a hobby that they may have that they can turn into a particular business. So that's option number two. Now we're going to go into option number three. Option number three. Now, granted, ladies and gentlemen, there are so many other options out there, but we're going to hit the big three. And when I'm talking about stocks, you got so many variations of stocks. And what I mean by that, you have stocks, you have bonds, you have mutual funds, you have ETFs. We're just talking about the market in general. This is a third thing you can do with stocks. So how can you invest for your child with stocks? One, you can open them up a custodian account. Right, just like you can open them up a bank account, this one is talking about investing. You can open them up with a custodian account with TD Ameritrade, E-Trade, Charles Schwab. It's so many companies out there that you can open up a custodian account. You don't even have to be the parent in order to open up a custodian account. I did one for my nephew, purchased him 3 shares of AT&T for graduating high school. When he turned 18, he now has the account. The account is his. He can do whatever he wants to do with it, right? So let's go through the different types of accounts that you can open up for a child. There are several of them, right? I had to write them down. Y'all give me 1 second. So y'all give me some thumbs up if y'all like what I'm saying and doing all of the good stuff like that or whatnot. Okay. Somebody asked me, said, how many acres was it? It was about 5 acres of land. It's about 5 acres. 5 acres of land is what I purchased for my son. Him, my name is on it. His name is on it. All right. So another thing you can do, another one that I brought up too that you can do as well is you can go out. I added my son onto my credit card as an authorized user. So he has my credit card, and with his name on it, he can go around and use it, which he's not. He's not even know it exists. So he can have a credit card. I put him on as an authorized user. He has a bank account. He's an authorized user on my account to help him start formulating credit, right? Now, if you can build somebody's credit, you can tear down somebody's credit as well. So he's an authorized use. That's one thing you can do as well. If you have a credit card, you can make your child an authorized user onto your account, right? And there's no age restriction. So it was pretty easy. So that's another thing you can do to kind of help build credit for your child. And that's only if you got good credit and you're doing right by the credit card. Don't go backwards and do bad things as well, right? So we're talking about the good things. So now let's get on to what can you do? What options do you have when you open up a custodian account? Now, the first one you have is a minor IRA. You can start an IRA. Just like an adult has an IRA, a child can have an IRA, which IRA is an individual retirement account. Now, the catch to this is that the child must have a income. So, of course, when I opened up my son's account, he didn't have an income. But if you have that little entrepreneur out there that's making a little money, they have a little income, you can start them an IRA called a minor IRA. And depending on how much income they generate, or depending on the current limits of the year, that depends on how much money. So $6,000 is the minimum it's a max you could contribute to an IRA right now. So right now, you can open up an IRA for a child if they already have an income. Now, the benefits to open up an IRA, you can open up a Roth or a traditional. It's the tax advantages, right? A Roth IRA, the money is tax deductible. I mean, a traditional Roth IRA, the money is tax deductible. The money is not taxed. You're taxed when you pull the money out. So you can put the money in, and the money has the ability to grow tax-free. So your money could be growing without having to worry about paying taxes on it every year right here with the IRA, right? So the next thing you can do, y'all give me 1 second. It's homeschooling at the same time. Y'all give me a... Oh, nice job. Good job. All right, you can take a break.
I love whatever.
Good. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to be a man.
You are, man. All right, put it down and take a break, and we'll finish it up. Okay. Yes. Yes. Doing a little homeschooling at the same time, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about that. That's Wesley doing his math course. But like we spoke about an IRA. So once you have an IRA, your money can grow tax-free. A traditional, you put your money in. If you buy a stock, or you can buy a company, or you can buy, I've seen people buy franchises. I've seen people invest in the land through their IRA. And if you earn proceeds off of that, you don't have to worry about taxes on the money. The money get to grow tax-free. That's a good example of an IRA. So you can do that. Now, a Roth IRA is post-tax dollars. You pay the taxes on it, then you put money in there. That money can grow tax-free. The only difference is if you can't pull out the money until 59 and a half to not receive penalties. So, and you can use it for certain tax, for educational benefits. So an IRA, you can open up an individual retirement for a child if they're earning a little income, especially if you put them on a business and you add them onto a payroll. So they do have a little income coming in. And then now, since you already hired them out of their business, and now they have an IRA account, you can set up and do that. But that's one of the ways you can do with the IRA. The next thing you can do, you have are 529. 529 college savings, right? 529 college savings, we're going to go to the pros and the cons of this. Now, the pros and cons of a 529, the good part is it's tax deferred. Money you contribute to it is tax deferred. The money can grow tax-free. Is never taxed as long as the money is used for educational purposes, higher educational purposes. And if the child doesn't use it by the age of 30, you can pass it on to another child as well. So a college savings plan, a 529. So the good thing is the taxes. Money you put in there is tax deductible, and you contribute to a college plan. And the money gets to grow tax-free. And you don't have to pay money on the taxes if you use it for educational if you use it for educational expenses, higher educational expenses. Now, the downside to this is when you open up this type of an account, you just can't go in there and buy Nike stock or whatnot. You have, depending on the state, it's ran by the state. You only have about 7 states, right? So if you only have, not 7 states, you only have about 7 choices. So they give you a couple of mutual funds or ETFs to track, and that's it. So if you want to go buy your child Microsoft stock in a 529, can't do it, at least to the best of my knowledge, at least as I'm making this current video. It's already controlled by the state, so you have different large cap companies, not companies, but ETFs that you can invest in consistently over time. So 529 college plan, and guess what? Don't worry about it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to show you how to set up all those things, not in detail, but I'm going to show you where to go to get started to set those things up. So the next thing you have after the 529 plan, you have the a brokerage account. Now, a custodial brokerage account. Now, a standard brokerage account is you just open up a custodial account for your child. You put their name on it. It has no tax benefits. So if you buy and sell a stock and you owe taxes, if you make money from it and you owe taxes, you have to pay taxes on that money. If you buy and sell a stock, long-term or short-term taxes, you will owe. The money can be pulled out or taken out at any time, but for the child. But it has to be for the child, right? When a child turns 18, that account is theirs. Nothing you can do about it is theirs once they turn 18 to 25, depending on the state. So you only could use it for, but the good part about it, the pros to it is you can get in there, you have more control. You can buy stocks, you can buy ETFs, you can buy covered calls and whatever your heart desires in it. So that's a benefit it has over the 529. But the downside is you don't get the tax benefits. Also, you can pull out on it at any time, use it for whatever you want to do, as long as it's benefiting the child, versus the 529 has to be used for education. If it's not used for education, you could be subject to a penalty. So that's the second thing you have a 529 plan. The next one is a Coverdell ESA, Educational Service Plan, ESP. I think it's Education Service Plan or whatever, right? But you have a Coverdell. That's pretty much what it is. So this one, you have to put the max contribution is $2,000 a year, depending on your income level. If you're a single person, it could be lower if you're a single person and you make over $95,000 to $100,000. And if you make $90,000 to $200,000, you know, jointly, you know, your contribution level is lower. The pros to this is that once it's in there, you can buy anything. And once it's out, you can defer it from taxes or whatnot. So that's one of the benefits from it. But one of the downsides is how much you can contribute. You only contribute a little bit of money to it, but you do get a lot of control of it, right? And you don't get taxed, it's not tax deductible. But the pro is the distributions are not taxed as well. So it sounds like a lot. You're like, Prince, you just went over a minor IRA. You just talked about a 529. You just talked about a Coverdell, all of the good stuff like that. I advise you to sit down with a financial advisor professional to kind of help you navigate it depending on your personal situation. Now, with me, for example, I couldn't use an IRA because my son was 4 years old. He didn't have an income. So what I did for him, I went and started him a brokerage account, right? Why the 529? Why I didn't use the 529 plan? I wanted to be able to invest in particular things for him. I wanted to bring him along on the world of investing. Like, he loves McDonald's and he loves to play on Google. So I wanted to own those particular stocks, and I couldn't do that through a 529 plan. And he didn't have a job for an IRA. With the Coverdell, I only could put so much in there. I didn't like that. So for me particularly, and also on the 529 plan, I said, well, what if my son doesn't want to use this for education? I didn't like the red tape on the distribution. I want to be able to be free just in case my son wants to go to school. He wants to do whatever he wants to do, right? I want to let him, if he don't want to go to school, he wants to start a business, he want to become a real estate agent, whatever his heart desires, I don't want any red tape on what he can use his money for and not get penalized. So that's why I wasn't big on the 529, but it's different for everybody else. But any one of them, you know, in the investing world, I learned there's good, better, and best. So good, something could be best. If you got it, it's good. So the whole idea that you're tuned in right now, catching this playback and listening, is a good indication of you're taking the right steps to even start investing for your child. I'm 35 today, and I wish my dad was tuned in something like this 20 years ago. Great dad, by the way, but he could have invested for us, but he didn't have the access that we have, right? He's 74. And back in the 80s, you know, it wasn't, hey, just tune on a YouTube channel, you know, or whatever, or just go through my phone. But you are having an access. So now we're going to go through all those particular accounts, and I'm going to show you how or where you can go open up any one of those. You can go through a TD Ameritrade. You can go through E-Trade. You can go through Charles Schwab, Fidelity. There are so many brokers out there. That's up to you. I'm not sponsored by anybody to say anything like this. I'm just giving you the information and you can use it, right? So, all right, so we got a question here. So it says, custodian account net value is under 2,000. You made $10 for the year. Would I have to pay the taxes? On a custodian account, yes. You don't have any tax breaks on a custodian account. If you made $10, Uncle Sam's going to want a piece. Depending on your income level, depending on tax brackets you fall in, Uncle Sam is going to want a piece. So that's one of the downsides of having a brokerage account. That's why things like a 529, they have benefits to get around that. But also you have the freedom to buy and sell whenever you want to. So, yes. And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to share my screen here. Where are we at? I'm going to share my screen, and we're going to look at TD Ameritrade. We're going to go through, I'm just going to pull up TD Ameritrade just because it's open, no particular reason, right? So right here, the first account I was speaking about, by a brokerage account, the Uniform Transfer Miners Act, Uniform, right? You just go to their website. Let me go back it up a little bit. You go to TD Ameritrade, you go to open a new account, and once you click on open a new account, it's going to give you all these account types. Now, this could be seen kind of confusing, right? Right here, you go to the joint miner section. So down here in the miner section, you see you have the miner IRA. You can just go, it'll give you a little bit more information on it, telling you what you can and can't do. You have a miner Roth IRA that you can do. And this is what I was speaking about with the brokerage account. You can do a UGMA or UTMA. It's a uniform transfers to miners. The max on a, you can put up to $14,000 in there without getting charged for a gift tax if it's anything over $14,000. Now, the other one I had, educational savings, right? We spoke about the 529 plan right here. Boom. If you want to open up a 529 plan, it's the college 529 plan. And then you have the Coverdell educational savings. Here you go right here. You just hit the open Coverdell ESA. I have step-by-step tutorials if you need help with that. But essentially, you can do this for your niece. You can do this for your nephew. You can do this for your cousin, all that type of stuff, right? Not your cousin, but any child, any minor, as long as you have their social security number and you have their social security number and you have their date of birth. Social security number, date of birth, and probably address. You can open it up for a child, and for their birthday, you could be buying them stocks for them, right? You could open up them account, and for their birthday and for Christmas, you could be putting money to the side for them and to be able to buy them stocks, buy them ETF, and when they turn 18, this account becomes theirs, right? So right here. So you go here, you click open the account, and, open the account, and you're good to go. Right. So hopefully that kind of helps to kind of give you a little bit more information. All right. Eric says, hey, Prince, thanks, sir, for the info. Good afternoon. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So there you go. So now, ladies and gentlemen, let's kind of go over what we spoke about. We spoke about why to invest. Right. We spoke about why to invest because we have to beat inflation. Where can I put my money? Some people look at it and say, hey, I have $500. I only made $10. You know, that's only 2-3%. What is that? But you have to look at where else can I place my money so it can grow, so I can at least match or beat inflation. We know bonds are at an all-time low. We know CDs are very low. We know savings accounts are low because we're in a very low interest rate society, which is great for investors that are looking to go buy a house or a person who's looking to go take up a business loan. But for the person who's trying to make interest from the banks and investing into a savings account, a CD, that's just not going to cut it, right? Because it's not even matching inflation. We know inflation historically moves at 3%. So where can we put our money so it can grow? So then we discuss different investment options. So we know that savings is not going to work for me. Where can I invest it? Now, savings is great for somebody if your child is 17 or 18 or 16 years old and they need this money to go to school. Don't just go out here and buy a random stock, right? Because you need that money. Your time horizon is short and you don't want to take that type of risk. So, so a CD may not be a bad idea if you're in that situation. But if you're like me, if you got a 9-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6, a 10-year-old, and you have a decade or 5 years to invest or whatnot, you want maybe look into other investment options. And they're broken down into three options. You got real estate, which you can buy land in a child's name. And that land, when they grow up, they can use it as collateral. They can sell it, or they can actually live on it. They can farm on it. They can sit if trees grow, they can cut down the trees and sell the lumber, all of the good stuff like that. So you have so many options you can do with real estate. You can actually start your child in real estate, or you can open up a company buy, put the child's name on the company and buy real estate up under the company, right? To help build a child's business or whatever. That goes on into our second option, starting a business for the child. You know, it's especially if their child, where they're earning some type of income, maybe they're a YouTuber or a Facebooker or Instagram, or they still sell stuff on Spotify, they have a lemonade stand, or whatever they may have, whatever their little entrepreneur is, a vending machine company, whatever they may have, you can start them a company for them, create a brand, create a name, a trademark, all that good stuff like that or whatnot. So that's another option. And then you can hire them, put them on the payroll. Instead of paying them an allowance, they could be hired up under their own company, right? So that's option number two. Option number three, now you get into stocks. Now you're looking at stocks, bonds, ETFs, and we just talked about how to do that. You can do that with a IRA, minor IRA. You can do that with a minor Roth IRA or just a regular traditional IRA, or you can do it with a college savings plan, a 529. You can do it with a Coverdell ESA, educational savings plan, or you can just do it with a traditional brokerage account, or call UTMA or UTMG, right? So those are pretty much your options. Now, I'm pretty sure there are probably a million other options, but those are quick, broken down options. And we talked about how you can set those up. You can set those up with a TD Ameritrade or E-Trade or Fidelity or whatever, you know, any other brokerage companies that's out there, but choose those at your choice. So those are ways you can invest for a child. Those are the ways you can do things, right? So anyway, that's going to conclude today's, not today's topic, but this particular topic. Congratulations. Hopefully everybody's staying safe. And for the people out there who are receiving tax returns or who have that $500 stimulus check that you receive for your child, this could be a great opportunity and a great time to start investing. All right. If there are no more questions, I thank you guys and girls for tuning in, for the people that caught it live, and for the people that caught the playback. If you're catching the playback, feel free to drop some comments. Until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe, peace, be safe, I'm out, and thank you.